Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Xander Hanley, it's been fun for a couple hours filling in for Carmen Yurko, Jeff Miller, Jesse Rogers. Joining us for Crosstalk. What's up, guys?
I thought you were pointing that Ted Phillips retired. You want me to turn your microphone on?
Yeah, no. We know about the Ted.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, everything's good. Everything's good. But, Brian, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Because you kind of answered your own question at the beginning of the show about Ted Phillips. Yeah, you do that. Because, look, I get that he wasn't a football guy. Everybody's going to want them to hire a football guy.
Ryan Poles probably doesn't want him to hire a football guy.
Yeah, exactly. Which, again, still means the McCaskies have to make a football decision. No matter how many layers you put on it, eventually ownership has to make a football decision. But you were talking about Ted Phillips, and he said he figured some things out. Like, if you watched a surgeon for 20 years, you may not be able to do surgery, but you should be a little bit more knowledgeable than the rest of us who haven't been watching a surgeon for 20 years.
But that still doesn't mean you get that job.
No, but I would think that doesn't mean
I had a medical degree and you'd want me cutting you open.
No, but those are two different things. In other words, I don't want McCaskey to coach the team, but you would think after decades of owning the team, they would kind of know how to go about hiring somebody. And apparently they don't.
That's my point. Can you explain Phil Emery and Tressman and, you know, Pace and Nagy?
I guess Angelo and Smith worked out a little bit.
But yeah.
But I guess my point is they should at least be more knowledgeable than us, but apparently they're not, because George McCaskey said last year, like, I'm a fan like the rest of you.
Right.
So it's a strange situation. But at the end of the day, the McCaskies do have to make a football decision, no matter how many people you put in between them and the GM. They do. They have to hire the president.
Is Bill Polian on line two? Is George calling him right now, trying to get his input on
probably.
Help with the search.
They're probably going to go get a business president, right?
It seems like it, right? Ryan Poles, the way they've set it up, with Phillips being in the position he was, they hired Poles, and now you take that out and you put somebody above Poles.
I mean, you have to get naming rights, PSLs.
There's a lot of work to do there.
You're going to monetize that new site in every which way you can, every inch of it, right?
Yes.
And it's like the Cubs. You know, you have Crane Kenny's the business guy, and theoretically he gets the wheelbarrow of money, and then he rolls it over to Theo, now Jed, and then they put the money back into the team and into the baseball ops. Given all the decisions you have to make, and you have to get this thing right, and you can't do it on the cheap, and you have to know how this is going to look when you open it up and have the ribbon cutting, I would guess it's going to be a business guy.
It could be. I will say, though, the one name that still stands out to me, a former Bear, Trace Armstrong. He actually, I believe, represents Ryan Poles. So there is a relationship there. And
he was rumored for Poles' gig, too. Before Poles.
There was the conversation before Ted Phillips. We got the announcement today that Trace Armstrong would be somebody who you could theoretically give an offer of team president. Now, with what Trace Armstrong does right now, he's got plenty of college head coaches, professional head coaches under him as their agent. He's a guy who is a football guy who, with his relationship with Ryan Poles, because I don't think he would want to have his hands on the roster. Trace Armstrong, somebody who makes sense to me, who's been very successful in every aspect of everything that he's ever done. We're talking about he was the president of the NFLPA at one point. He obviously had a very successful professional career as a player, and I'll argue his career after a player has been more successful than anything he ever did on the playing field. So I would say Trace Armstrong, that's the full court press. Now, you're right, Brian, he's not a business guy, but
he handles money for all those guys you just said.
He absolutely does, and he could easily, if he wanted to be team president here, he could easily put someone in place underneath him
and
who he could delegate.
And Jeff, he also hits the note for George McCaskey, former Bear.
And listen, I can't think of a more successful, at least in what you'd be looking for, to be team president. There is no more successful person out there.
Okay, and then when Trace Armstrong has to look at Ryan Poles with a critical eye,
does it happen?
Does it happen unbiasedly? Does it happen the way it's supposed to? I don't know.
Nothing really happens the way it's supposed to.
But here's the thing also. If you were going to hire a football czar, you should have done it when you got rid of the other two guys last year. So I agree with Brian. I think it's going to be a business-related guy. They've already pivoted from having the coach and GM to answer to the president to ownership. They've mm-hmm. already made that jump. So I don't see why you now hire a football czar who oversees two guys he didn't hire. It makes no sense to me.
And what you said, Jeff, makes a lot of sense in that, you know, if Trace gets hired, he could put the right people in to do the other things. I mean, that's what leadership is about, right? Yes. Making sure that you know your limitations and you are able to delegate and hire the right people and delegate all of those other things that you are not able to do, not to do the whole thing yourself.
That's why I go back to what you guys said at the top of your show at noon. It was a great conversation. I mean, we criticized Phillips for not knowing much about football, but yet, as you said, Brian, John McDonough knew less about hockey than he did baseball exactly. and oversaw three championships. Right. So it's really about the people you hire.
You hire smart
people.
And
Ted hired a bunch of wrong people right. over the years.
Yeah, and look, you know, Phil Emery, when we go up there, and as soon as he said synergy, either someone drank, it was a drinking game, or it became a punchline, right?
Right.
Trestman, it just never, I mean, he was goofy. He was an odd guy.
He was.
You have to have all the components to be the face of a franchise like that, whether the head coach, these two seem to have it. You know, everyone kind of, well, some people snickered at the hits principle because it's, you know, sounds like Friday Night Lights. But these players are.
It works. It works.
I mean,
go back a few years. Was it 5 years, 4 years? Pace and Nagy seemed to have it, right? Didn't we get a great feeling, especially about Nagy? Came from Kansas City.
Absolutely. It was
on top of the world.
We did.
So let's.
But the problem is there.
I actually agree with you on Poles, though. He seems like might be a special something where Eberflus, I'm still waiting.
I always thought it was a stretch when Nagy was taking credit or people were putting credit on for helping Patrick Mahomes. First of all, he was. He called plays for six quarters and not very well in the playoff game, right? I mean, so.
Well, yeah, absolute disaster.
Yeah, right.
He abandoned the run.
Absolutely.
And the Titans came back,
right.
And it was a debacle for the
so,
Chiefs.
So, I mean, it goes back to Ted being, you know, a sponge and picking up what's around him for 25, 30, now 39 years. And, you know, Matt was part of a Andy Reid think tank. I mean, he had his fingerprints on it, but if he had left. You know, in the middle of a season, they wouldn't have missed him, right? I just think the Armstrong thing is interesting because of the relationship, Jeff. I mean, if they're that comfortable with, and maybe, you know.
I think the Bears should be.
Yeah.
Whether or not Trace Armstrong can be lured away from his lucrative business, that's a question. Though, I believe there's somewhat of an interest from things I've heard and read, but it's not going to just be like, give me the gig. You're going to have to woo him.
I mean,
are the Bears willing to do that?
You have to pay the market price for a title of that nature, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's making a very nice living taking 3% of every college coach he has, right? I mean, you see the college coaches' contracts, $10 million here for Mel Tucker.
They may not be able to come up with that.
But don't diminish, too, you know, when you're Trace Armstrong and you are the advisor to so many powerful college head coaches, professional head coaches, that wears on you too. There's a lot of fires he has to put out in his daily life that he might be looking to get away from as well. And so that's why I think if the Bears truly, that would be a slam dunk to me. You know, we've been calling for it for years, as long as Ted Phillips now, for the last 15 to 20 years, everybody in the city has been calling for somebody to be the team president who understands football, who knows who to hire. Trace, I guarantee you, Trace Armstrong has the pipeline to many different people out there who would give, if he needed to hire somebody down the road, if you were concerned about Ryan Poles not being the guy, he would know who next guy in line should be.
Those are all good points, and at least Trace is an obvious qualified candidate, just like Tom Ricketts had to make a baseball decision, and he went with an obvious qualified candidate.
He was smart enough to go say, you know, get the guy in the gorilla suit and you know, go meet him in New York first. Right. And I mean, Theo interviewed Tom. Tom was interviewing Theo. Theo's like, okay, what resources will I have?
I got to imagine Trace would be doing the same thing.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's going to interview George, not the other way around.
Absolutely. Yeah, but can you imagine Trace Armstrong, as successful an agent as he is, to be a president, even if it's mostly on the business side, to bring a Super Bowl championship to this town, a team he played for, in a brand new, sparkling $2 billion palace?
How do you say no to it?
Yeah. I mean, you're now talking about, Hall of Fame type career.
But you'd imagine whatever Ted Phillips is making, you got to triple it for Trace, right? Or what? I don't know what the number is.
And that's where it seems like more. Would be an issue.
Yeah, probably. Ted, I mean,
should it be if you're the Bears? And
no, it shouldn't
you know,
be.
They're worth $4 billion right now.
I think, yeah.
Without owning a stadium.
Exactly.
It's going to be $8 billion, $10 billion by the time that thing.
But the point is, they've never had what other teams have had. You know, you have a football ops guy and a business person. They've never been able to split that.
That's a bunch of salaries right
and
there.
And that's my point.
Well, they can afford it.
I mean, look, if they change their
how much money they spend on the renovation of Hallis Hall, they're getting they're going down the road of we have to start doing things in the modern era.
Spend a little money to make money.
Right. Yes.
Like, there's a few owners out there that know that and do that.
Absolutely.
Maybe they're starting to learn it. I don't know.
The examples are out there. You're right, Jess.
And you know what?
Plenty of examples.
I don't know if you know George feels an allegiance or he has to bring Trace back in because Trace was here not nearly long enough for a guy who's had that talent.
He should have never been a Dolphin.
He had to bring Tony because make amends.
Look, Pompey mentions a couple guys that are not football guys.
Yep.
I'm with you, Brian. I think it's a business guy that just takes over Ted's job and does Ted's job better, maybe.
I don't even know if Ted left
on his own terms, by the way. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced of that either.
For everything, though, that
for all the criticism
that Ted Phillips gets, his job, I always looked at it as, making the McCaskies money. I always felt that ultimately was his job.
Yeah.
But a lot of the, hiring of GMs and head coaches and the failures there got put on him. You know, that wasn't his forte. I don't truly believe that that's what he was specializing in. What his job was, I think he actually did well making this franchise money.
Well, he got Soldier Field renovated, and that's why he got elevated to team president, because Richie Daley wasn't playing ball with them at that point, and they're, even though they didn't own the stadium, and they don't own the stadium, that made them more money.
Yes.
That increased the value of the franchise and the organization, all that. It's just, Ted, I don't think he was all about money, but he was an accountant who became a football NFL president. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a hell of an ascension. I mean, you don't start your career thinking one day I'll be the team president
and
of a professional.
And be there 39 years.
Absolutely.
And look, he's going to be there till the end of February. They're going to close, at least close on the land deal before he leaves.
Now, Jeff, you were saying that, some of the decisions that we look upon and say that was a fail are put on him. He was a leader that seemingly did not seek any kind of counsel because that was out of his purview. So he failed in that way, being a leader.
Look, you got the title of president.
Right. What do you do? Do you go out and get some consultants? What was in the process
of
hiring?
They got consultants.
Time, but back then.
The failure is one Super Bowl appearance since 86.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the failure, and he was in charge.
Yeah. That's right.
Whether he was pencil pushing or not, he was the president of the team.
When you the dichotomy there, right? As fans, we're measuring it by Super Bowls. But if you're the ownership, you look at your $4 billion evaluation and you say,
I hate to say,
we'd like to win some Super Bowls.
Am I being naive, Brian? You're smarter than the three of us combined. Am I being naive when I say, the NFL took off. Ted Phillips didn't take off.
This is fair.
I mean, my God, you could have been the president.
Seriously. I mean, every team makes money before they even open the gates, right? Every media deal, every rights deal, they start cutting checks worth $30 million here, $50 million. I mean, there are two teams in baseball in the last year, according to Forbes, that didn't make money. It was Baltimore and Miami. Miami stayed even. Baltimore lost money. On average, and this is baseball, not NFL, on average, according to Forbes, every team on average rose 14% valuation of the franchise. So even if you're a middling to bad team,
That's baseball.
That's baseball. NFL, I mean,
Vinny Bumbats gets more credit than Ted Phillips.
Meaning
the corner bookie gets more credit. Right. I think that was Dangerfield's doctor, Vinny Bumbats.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, but the gambling aspect should get more credit for the. For the NFL going as crazy as it's going,
Phillips. It's the YouTube deal. I mean, it's everything. Yeah. It's now Amazon, right? There's always someone in line to throw big time money at you to be part of the NFL.
Why? Because 70 million people watch it every week. It feels like
America.
But for the fans, it's about winning. It's about success.
Yeah.
And the things that have gone wrong are glaring, and it comes with his name on it.
What's sad, I guess, is at the end of the day now. losing doesn't mean you lose money necessarily.
No. If it were that easy,
I wish it would.
We would have immediate results.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
The one nice thing about football, though, is with the salary cap and the revenue sharing and the way it's structured, every team, for the most part, you're convinced is attempting to, if not win this season, there's a short-term plan where they're trying to get better. Not necessarily the same in the sport that you cover.
Definitely.
Where you look at the fact that teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates are just rolling out a team year after year.
Yeah, and Kansas City used to be, you know, America's minor league franchise. You know, they were populating. Every time a guy became a star and was ready to be paid, he was playing for somebody else. And, you know, you start looking at this with the NFL in particular. I mean, you're making nothing but money, and you're going to continue to make nothing but money. And I just, you can't screw that up. I mean, even there are no local rights to speak of. I mean, your preseason games and your radio deal.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is taken care of by the league. And it's just like you're a shareholder. And I was talking to somebody who knows about the ownership of the White Sox, right, and how that's structured. And I'm like, look, there's 15,000 people yesterday, and they're supposedly in a pennant race. You know, you and I toe-tagged about a month ago. 2 months ago for you.
They're a zombie.
But the point
they're coming back.
But the point is, he said, you're looking at this all because I'm like, shouldn't Jerry try to? He owns like 20% of the club, right?
Yep.
He's the chairman, but he's not even the majority owner. I'm like, doesn't people investing in that want to maximize and make sure that the park's full and people are buying Polish sausages and parking? He said, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's like a long term bond. If you bought in when Jerry and Eddie bought in 1981 for $19 million, Forbes valued them at $1.8 billion. They don't own their own stadium. Think about the return on that. He said, when they sell the team, that's when the owners get their money. That's where
there's
the
no doubt
in
my mind.
Money.
The White Sox don't have a top three payroll because they don't bring in that kind of revenue.
Right.
And he's not going to go. He's not going to spend
money.
You told
us last weekend.
He's not going to spend money he doesn't have his mind.
One of four teams that don't give out $100 million plus contracts.
Yep, right.
I mean, think about that.
Right.
Or the opt-out.
Or player opt-outs.
Yeah. Which everybody else does.
26 other teams are willing to play ball.
And that's your competition.
Yeah.
And getting players.
I mean, so it's maddening as a fan because you're just like, oh, okay, how many playoff games have the White Sox won in the last, they got there last year, flamed out.
Yep.
It's been a long time since 2005, right?
Yep.
I mean, so but they don't look at it that way. I mean, they keep talking about windows and World Series windows and everything else.
But it's about business.
It's that might be the priority. I mean, it's 1A if it's not number one.
Well,
right?
I mean, if it wasn't, then they would have signed Max Scherzer. They would have pushed all in the way we all think pushing all in is.
Right.
They would have. So that we know that business is a big part of it.
Well, yeah, and there's the illusion they'll always, the calculus. Sure, they could go ahead and sign someone like Max Scherzer or maybe Carlos Correa and increase their chances of winning ever so slightly, right? Especially in baseball where one player's not going to necessarily change the entirety of the landscape for you as a team. But they also recognize, you know what? We're not really going to push ourselves into that part where we're winning year after year big, 90 plus wins over and over again. And if they can't do that, then the fan base is not going to be compelled to come out day in and day out. That's just in this world in 2022, what we're living in, where everybody is, there's so many options for your dollars.
Yeah.
Well,
you need to truly put out a winning.
Now maybe Wrigley's unique, but they're going to have unique.
It absolutely is. Yeah. We know that the park is always going to be the draw.
That's what they tell us.
Hey, I'll go back to covering the Blackhawks in the Dark Ages with Bill Wirtz, and the NHL adopted a salary cap. And he was pushing for it forever because he didn't want.
He was first in line.
Yeah, he didn't want to have to keep up with the Joneses and pay top dollar for stars and everything else. And he was like, "Wait a minute, we got to stop this madness."
Can't pay Jeremy Roenick big money.
But so the league comes up with a structure for the salary cap, and he found out there was going to be a floor, and he was the only owner who voted against it. He had been pushing leading this parade for years. He was like, you can't tell me how much money I have to spend. You just have to tell the Rangers they can't spend three times as much as I can because I look bad. And so he was the only one who voted against it because I'll be damned if you're going to tell me how to do our business.
One of many reasons why he had that nickname.
Yep, absolutely.
Dollar bill.
I think Verge gave him that, didn't he?
The Bob Verde, probably.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Verge is who else would have done it, right?
The best writer out there.
All right, well, that's off the field. On the field, we have a special guest at 3 o'clock. You guys got to listen. Because this is my early man crush for the Chicago Bears. knowing me, I'll jump ship if he's no good. But
don't say that yet. You got to say that at 310, 320 after we've already interviewed.
The starting left tackle of the Chicago Bears, Braxton Jones, is going to join us at 3. Awesome. I think this guy's going to be a player.
Yeah. Man, fifth round pick, and look, they're already in love with the guy.
Yeah, he looked great in the preseason, especially this last game. So we're going to talk to him. What else we got, Jeff?
Connor. You guys talk to Connor. We're going to talk to Connor. We'll do that at 4:30. It's the last Free Ticket Friday of the year. We've got four more pairs to give away.
Yep.
So we're going to be doing that throughout the entirety of the show. And then we've got the usual Waddle and Sylvie staples. We've got What to Watch For.
Ohio or Florida?
No, Waddle's World.
Yeah. Waddle's World. So, yeah, we got plenty to. And, of course, Ted Phillips, Ryan Poles. I know we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of sound from him and, you know, get you set for your Labor Day weekend.
Hey, Tyler, get Trace Armstrong on the phone, all right?
Let's just do the interview now. Yeah. Let's just get it done with.
Let's pitch him.
Probably ask the same questions McCaskey would ask.
All right, Xander and Hanley making way for Meller and Jesse Rogers in for Waddle and Sylvie on a Friday. It's ESPN 1000.
Do you like delicious beer and championship golf? Yeah, you do. Then join Seven Bridges Golf Club for their annual Oktoberfest Golf Classic on Thursday, September 29th, a four-person scratch scramble. The event features Oktoberfest-style lunch, 18 holes of unparalleled golf, two drink tickets, tastings from local breweries, specialty cocktails, hole contest prizes, awards, and a post-round pig roast, a Prost. To sign up a team, go to sevenbridgesgolfclub.com or call 630-964-7777 for more details.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Welcome to your Labor Day weekend. I'm Jeff Meller alongside Jesse Rogers as we sit in for Waddle and Sylvie, who have started their Labor Day weekend a day early, taking advantage of an extra long weekend for them. We'll hold on the fourth, though, and celebrate, I guess, the end of summer, Jess.
That's what they say, but everybody the weather there. Says it's summer. I mean, it's pretty hot.
Yeah, it is going to be a little toasty out there.
Continue to be this weekend, but what the heck, we'll be praying for these days in about 3 months.
What's a baseball man like you have planned for the Labor Day weekend?
So I'm going to get into this in the 5 o'clock hour with you, but I am a brand new Iowa football fan, so I'll explain later. I'm going to be watching Iowa football while watching my daughter play fall ball softball tomorrow. So I'm going to get the online streaming thing going to watch Iowa football.
Nice.
So that's tomorrow. Sunday, I believe I'm actually going to go to South Bend, Indiana for the home finale of the South Bend Cubs. I go once a year, and I haven't gone yet. So I'm going to do that Sunday, and then I'm going to relax Monday. I might sneak in a White Sox game in there with the Twins in town. Let's see how they do the first couple days, and then I might show up.
They're going to have to prove it to you. And don't forget, we do have plenty of White Sox tickets, giving away those today. So we will be doing that four times, the last four free tickets of the year for us as the season winds down. Again, a pair of tickets to see the Sox against the Tigers on September 24th, all brought to you by Miller Lite. Again, four more chances to win. We will be doing that throughout the show once an hour, so make sure you keep it locked here. Again, 312-332-3776 for your chance to win when you hear the Go Go White Sox theme song. So make sure you're ready for that. I, Jess, am going to be doing a fantasy football auction tomorrow.
Of course you are.
Listen, it is fantasy football draft season, my friend. This is the weekend and the next couple days leading up to the start of the NFL season on Thursday. This is when it happens. This is, you know, you roll up your sleeves, and if you're a serious league, this is when you do your draft, because now all the preseason's out of the way. Hopefully all the key injuries have happened, and you can go ahead and get started and not have to worry about that. So I'll be doing that on Saturday. Sunday, I think we're going to hit the Lake Michigan and do the boat with the kids for a little bit, and then just kick back and have a very easy, relaxing Monday on Labor Day. That's the plan for me.
Good, because today is not going to be relaxing. If you're sitting next to me, it's not going to be relaxing. We have to jump on the story of the day. Ted Phillips retiring, maybe forced out, whatever the case may be. The president of the Bears after, what is it, 39 years?
It'll be after his 40th season. He'll give the Bears 40 years.
Give him credit for keeping the same job for 40 years.
Call it quits in February.
Yeah. And what does it mean? What does it mean? That's what we care about. Congratulations to Ted Phillips on a long career. But what does it mean? And I'm curious what people think of this. I don't know if the average fan cares all that much, because whatever the hierarchy of the Bears is, the McCaskies still have to make the final decision on things, whether it be a new president of football operations or just a president of the money, which is what Ted Phillips did. We know that Poles and Eberflus report to McCaskey. And unless something changes, it's not going to be to the president.
So that's a fair question, Bears fans. Does the announcement of Ted Phillips' retirement at the end of the season move you in any way? Now, we know, we got word yesterday that they're going to be giving their presentation on next Thursday, the NFL opener, a weird choice for days when you're going to do it. They're going to go up against the NFL opener when they're making a presentation in Arlington Heights.
Maybe they want no one to show up when they say, I have no answer for the traffic. I have no answer for the...
That thought really did... It occurred to me, why, Jess? Why would, you know, the decision be made when you're going to unveil your plans for the district in Arlington Heights that the Bears are, you know, hopeful they're going to close on eventually and make it, you know, as Waddle coined the phrase, paradise. You know, you're going to build that up out there. Why would you do it on the NFL opener? It's a curious choice.
They're not going up against their own team playing, so I don't know.
But it's still, I believe it's 7-9. It's like
maybe
right
that's
against,
the night
yeah,
of
7-9.
Yeah,
you have to admit it's a curious choice. You've got. Let's take Monday off the table because it's Labor Day. You've got Tuesday, Thursday. They probably don't want to do it on a Friday night, but I would contend it might be a better choice than doing it on the NFL opener.
Maybe, but it's not. I mean, we assume everybody that's a Bears fan watches every NFL game because that's what we do. But if you live out there and you need answers, you're going to skip the one game on Thursday night and get your answers. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
I just think this is. Think about Mayor Lightfoot when she did it. It was in the afternoon when they, you know, unveiled their plan for Soldier Field and being dome ready and the three options that they gave.
This is in prime time. This is more available to people.
But it's not, though. Nobody wants to go up against the NFL. I don't care who you are, right? I just think it's a really odd choice for the Bears. Why not kick it back? I guess it's just really weird to do it on the NFL opener. That's what I'm saying.
George, can you do it Wednesday?
It's really
weird. For Miller, so he can attend the meeting and watch the opener.
Thank you. Is that too much to ask?
Is that too much to ask, honestly?
I mean, it's just a weird choice, but... That's the news of the day. As Jesse mentioned, the Bears president and CEO, Ted Phillips, is going to retire at the conclusion of the 2022 season.
They hinted at this last year. This was coming.
Yeah, there was definitely plenty of rumors and innuendo that could be coming down the road here. So we knew that this was likely going to happen very soon. And we finally get official word today from the Bears statement that he will be retiring at the end of this season.
So what does it mean? 312-332-3776. I personally don't think it changes a whole lot unless, of course, they hire a president of football operations. If they do that, the timing is really weird. Why wouldn't you just hire everybody last year? Let the president of football operations hire a GM and a coach instead of hiring those two and handing them to this new president of football operations. So I just have a feeling, and Dan Pompeo initially broke the story for The Athletic, wrote about a couple of choices, and they were not football people. They were
possible internal candidates to potentially replace Ted Phillips.
Right. So... I don't know. I think it's just going to be someone to take over Ted Phillips' job, not necessarily have a hand in football-related items. But I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, Ryan Poles is, you know, a first-time GM. And from initially, I was a little bit concerned about the Bears making the same mistake they always seem to make, hiring a first-time, you know, at whatever their job, whether it be a head coach, whether it be the GM, and letting a person learn on the job. I was a little bit concerned, but so far so good from what I've seen from Ryan Poles. I've been impressed with the way he's approached this roster building, and most impressed with yesterday from what I heard from him. I thought he did a very good job of being concise with his answers, but also very forthright, I thought. He didn't sugarcoat anything. I thought, and we'll play some Ryan Poles for anybody who may not have heard it yesterday. We had the White Sox game on during Waddle and Sylvie for most of the day, so we will let you hear from Ryan Poles. But he obviously, at his age, is not going to ascend at this rate, at this stage of his career, to president of, you know, football operations for the Bears. So will they hire somebody internally, like we heard or read in Dan Pompey's piece, or will they also perform a search and look outside the organization for somebody who could offer a new voice as well? I think that would actually be appealing in some ways, because it's good to get another set of eyes on this.
I agree with all that. I agree with all that. And the more layers you put between ownership and polls of football people, that's a good thing. But I'll still go back to what I said during Crosstalk. At the end of the day, every so often, ownership, which has, in this case, no affiliation to football other than being the owners. You know what I mean? It's not a former. Like, if George Halas was still around, that was a guy that coached and
played. Yeah.
Ownership is going to have to make a football decision at somewhere along the line. And it could be right here, hiring a president of football operations. That's going to be on George McCaskey to do. Just like every owner, Tom Ricketts had to make a baseball decision in hiring Theo Epstein. Just like in Rocky Wirtz's case, he hired John McDonough, who then hired hockey people, and it worked out. So it's all about that. It's all about the people you hire if you're not an expert in your field in the first place.
I think what Brian brought up is definitely feasible, that the Bears go out and hire someone similar to Ted Phillips, somebody who can get deals done, who will help propel the Bears, you know, and potentially bring them more money. You know, that's this Arlington Heights deal is going to be paramount in all likelihood for the next president. Everything that's going on surrounding the stadium, that's going to be a big part of that job. However, I will say that if somebody is hired as the team president, but they're done with the idea of being a business op, right? Like somebody who's more in charge of the money, not necessarily what's on the football field. The concern for me would be that football, being a very public-facing, you know, organization of a very public for every city that's out there, the concern would be if you hire somebody who doesn't necessarily have a handle on football, someone like Trace Armstrong, if you don't hire someone like him, there's always going to be the allure for that person to dabble, right? If their placard says president of football ops, they may want to just sound off and, you know,
well, I would
chew on Ryan Poles' ear.
When a major decision has to be made, the ownership, the McCaskey family would probably fold this person into, just like they did with Ted Phillips. You're right.
Which is why I think it would be a good idea to at least blow in a call to Trace Armstrong.
I don't disagree with Trace. But what if Trace doesn't work out? Then McCaskey has to make that decision. See, eventually ownership has to make the decision.
There's no doubt about it. You're right about that. They have somebody who is a former Bear, though, who is more than qualified, in my opinion, based on everything he's done and succeeded with in his career. He would be the perfect answer to succeed Ted Phillips and not have to worry about
it. They should have done it last year. Listen, I'm sorry. It makes no sense.
I can't argue with you.
You knew Ted Phillips was on his way out, and then you hire two guys, and now you're going to saddle them. Granted, Trace Armstrong was Poles' agent.
That's why I think it would make sense to go ahead and then
I worry that, is he going to watch with as critical an eye as he should? I don't know. I feel like they're hiring someone just to replace what Ted Phillips does.
No, and that's certainly possible, but my concern would be that person is, you know, you're right, like Ryan Poles answers to George McCaskey, but whoever this new person, whatever role they're actually hired into, they're going to have George's ear when they get that job, which is why I'm hoping that it's somebody who has an eye for football, who can make some intelligent football decisions.
But again, going back to the Blackhawks, John McDonough did not have an eye for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
He just informed himself enough to make the right decisions.
Yes.
Ted Phillips obviously didn't do that. He had plenty of chances.
Yes.
He maybe got one right. They got to the Super Bowl once. There was a nice moment in time where Angelo and Lovie Smith worked out. So it's really about hiring someone smart enough to hire the smart football people, if you're not hiring a football person yourself.
No doubt.
A lot of layers to sift through there.
312-332-3776. Let us know what you think about Ted Phillips. announcing his retirement at the end of this season and what you would like to see the Bears do as his successor. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Jesse Rogers. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Boy, do they need to go, go, go in the month of September. You know what that means. It is your chance right now to win a pair of free tickets. Last Friday of the year for free tickets, courtesy of ESPN 1000, and of course, brought to you by Miller Lite. I've got a pair of tickets to the White Sox and Tigers on September 24th. Be caller number 7 right now, 312-332-3776, and you will win those pair of Sox and Tigers tickets, brought to you by Miller Lite. Maybe, just maybe. Might be getting ahead of myself, but maybe
Tim
Anderson will be back in the lineup.
I thought you
say
maybe they're in 24th. They'll be in first place.
Hopefully, I mean that kind of lines up with the timeline. So maybe just maybe they'll have Tim Anderson. And the reason I said that was because when we started this back at the beginning of the season, Jess, we made caller number 7 the go-to number for Tim Anderson because he was off to such a hot start. So it would be nice to have the Sox get TA back in the lineup maybe in a couple weeks because they really can use every jolt right now that they could they can get because it is tough sledding. It has been all year, and but it's still not out of the realm of possibility that they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't recall a team like stuck in the same position for as long as they have. I mean, a few games up, few games down, third place the whole way.
Are you rooting for the Guardians just so you can give everyone a great big I told you so?
No.
All right.
I don't do that.
I appreciate
that. I have Sox fans, whatever it is, that I don't want to see their season go to waste. They're on our station. No, I root for the White Sox to win as much as I am a reporter.
But consolation prize if the Guardians
win.
Any chance I can tell Sylvie I told you so.
I do. Like, I mean, I've only been covering this sport for a decade for this station. You'd think Sylvie would listen to me when 3 months ago I said, watch out for Cleveland. There was balance there. There was some things that were interesting. And they have the youngest roster. That's what's scary, too. They're not even close to coming into their own, although windows can be fleeting, as we know.
This is true.
Anyway, I think Cleveland's probably going to hang on, but I'm open to anything.
So there you go. A pair of free tickets for caller number 7 right now. I see Nick's got them on the line. So thank you for listening again. I have 3 more chances to win coming up later in the show. And as we've been talking about, the news of the day is Ted Phillips announcing, at least the Bears announcing Ted Phillips' retirement coming at the end of this season. He will depart after 40 seasons with the team in February. And we are letting you weigh in and react to that news and who you might like to see them bring in as a replacement. I threw out the name Trace Armstrong, who I think would be the ideal candidate to bring in if you could somehow manage to pry him away from his very lucrative business. But feel free to let us know who you'd like to see them, or does it even matter? Jess, that's the question. Do you care who the Bears team president is, or is it more he's not the GM, he's not the head coach, so I'm not as concerned with the day-to-day operations of the Bears that the team president will oversee? Let's try Eddie downtown. Eddie, what do you got for us, man?
Yo, Gary Fensick, man, that's the guy.
Very intelligent, former Bear, member of the 85 Super Bowl team. I understand why you would bring him up. My only pushback would be he would be, for me, you know, a distant second to someone like Trace because of everything that Trace has done throughout football. You know, it seems more natural that he would be the type of player you would go after. But Gary Fensick certainly knows a thing or two about football.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we have John McDonough in the back of our minds, we really can't say anybody's right or wrong. This is a guy that had nothing to do with hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. At least he had been around baseball for years and years and years and years. Goes over to the Blackhawks. He makes the right decisions and the right hires, and they win 3 Stanley Cups. Now, he made a really bad decision in 2010. That's a whole other thing off the ice. So, at first, I'm like, oh, Gary Fensick hasn't really worked in football recently. But, well, wait a minute. That doesn't mean anything. Like, if you're a smart, savvy guy, you hire people around you. So, that's the bottom line here. With Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, I don't care that they don't know football. They need to hire people that do. And more times than not, they did not. Let me read something from Ted Phillips. I think this is the key thing in the press release today. Or is this, was it the press release, or it could have been Dan Pompey's
article, yeah.
Yeah, I should give credit. Dan Pompey's article in The Athletic. My role has been to be a sounding board with the general manager to provide resources to support the team. We have relied on our GMs to put the right structures in place and have the right evaluation processes in place as well. The Achilles heel of the Bears for many decades has been to have the right quarterback in place who's not only talented, but can lead and raise the talent level around him. In my opinion, having the head coach or general manager report differently would not have changed any of that. He's putting the blame completely on the quarterback. But the problem is, Ted and the McCaskey family are the people that made the decisions to hire the people that drafted or developed these quarterbacks. So it still comes back to them.
Yes.
And that is my ultimate point. No matter who you hired or placed Ted Phillips, it all still comes back to McCaskey eventually.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That's when you just, you would actually rather.
I mean, what'd you think of that quote?
Exactly what you said. You can push off the blame on others, but the reality is, I think at this point, if I'm Ted Phillips, you want to go with the old Bill Parcells cliche, your record is what your record is, right? Yeah. You are what your record is.
And here's McCaskey. Because of Ted's efforts, we have one of the best facilities in the league. Now, if they'd have been in...
Wait. What facility?
Well, I think they're saying Halas Hall more than Soldier Field.
Okay, well, honestly, I need clarification there, because I do know that Ted Phillips, in the statement, and Ted Phillips is taking a lot of credit for the renovation at Soldier Field.
Okay, but my point is, whether it's Soldier Field or Halas Hall, if it had been 40 years of success on the field, wouldn't he be saying, because of Ted's efforts, we have 4 Super Bowl appearances, 2 titles, 18 division wins? He didn't do that.
Yeah.
He said, we have good facilities.
2 Super Bowl appearances during Ted Phillips' tenure.
Tenure, yeah.
And one was very early in his career with the team. So,
I guess you could say he got one thing right in the whole time, and that's the Angelo Smith pairing for a moment in time. Even that kind of went south. But look, you're not going to be perfect, but that's the only thing seemingly he did right.
With a 40-year run, you'd think you'd like to see a little bit more in terms of success.
Yeah, blind squirrel finding a nut there.
Sort of, yeah.
The old broken hand on a clock, right twice a day. It's a fair argument. And yes, I don't think anybody's going to come in and say, outside of Ted Phillips and maybe the McCaskeys, I don't think there are going to be too many people who take up arms for Ted Phillips' tenure as team president of the Bears. But again, that's where you wonder how much, because based on everything we're reading and seeing, speaking glowingly about Ted Phillips and his tenure there, maybe our vision of success
doesn't necessarily align
with what the actual ownership's vision
of success
is. Right,
because they're thinking dollar signs, we're thinking wins. It's two different things.
Absolutely. All right. Well, hopefully the man who we're going to talk to next can actually help the Bears get on track and get some winning wins on the field. We're talking, of course, about Braxton Jones, the rookie starting left tackle, expected to join us next. He's Jesse Rogers. I'm Jeff Meller, in for Waddle and Sylvie.